Wow, what an incredible, it's going to be weird not coming out of the video. No, that's all right. I'm just going to start with excellent, just because I don't want to talk about the video, because I got to talk about, okay, there we go. Excellent. Well, welcome. For those of you who are joining us for the first time online, my name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace, and we're so excited to have you with us. It has been an interesting couple of weeks, hasn't it been? And as we come together today, obviously we're celebrating everything that we saw happen last week with Commitment Sunday, and we're really excited because next week as we come together online, we're going to be sharing with you all of what God has done through that. But then I'm also really excited as we come together today to be able to take advantage of just the incredible tools that God has given us to be able to celebrate and to be able to connect in this very unique way. It's amazing. Last week, we were able to come together from all over the world. As a matter of fact, we had people coming together from six different countries, and I expect that this morning that's going to increase even more. It's amazing the tools that God has given us to be able to continue to pursue Him as we come together online. And today, as we come together, we're launching into this brand new conversation called Fearless. We're actually returning to this conversation. We didn't intend for this to be our conversation during this time, but as we watched what was happening around the world and as we watched what was happening inside of our community, we realized that it was necessary to go back to a conversation that we had about 4 years ago here at Hoboken Grace, where we looked at this thing called fear. And it's amazing. It's amazing to me how much of our lives is dictated by fear. It's amazing to me how much of my life is dictated by fear. How many times as I'm working through a decision, that fear is the loudest voice in the room. That as you look at kind of the boardroom of your life, and as I look at the boardroom of my life and what it is that has the loudest voice in the decision-making process, it blows me away how many times the loudest voice is fear. And I don't think that I'm the only one. I think that this is true for so many of us. We make so many of the decisions in our lives based on fear. And so we work in the career that we work in because we're afraid to actually pursue what it is that we love to do. We stay in a relationship that we know we should walk away from because we're terrified of being alone. Even as parents, we're afraid of looking like a bad parent, and so we lash out at our kids when they make a mistake and make us look bad. There's so many different situations where we allow fear to be the dominant voice. There's a conversation that we know that we need to have with our friend, but we're afraid. And so rather than loving them well, we stay quiet. It's amazing how many of the decisions in our lives are dictated by fear. And when we sit in that boardroom and we look at all of the different factors and all of the different voices, and make no mistake about it, there are all sorts of voices that speak into the decision-making process. There's the voice of our experience. There's the voice of our parents and their advice. There's the voice of our friends and their advice. There's all of these different things that speak into that decision-making experience. But all too often, the loudest voice is fear. And fear, well, fear is a cruel master. Because here's the thing, you see, fear doesn't really care about the future. It oftentimes is only focused on the moment. And so rather than it leading us to that which is healthy and that which is life-giving, well, it can steal life from us. And it's not just fear that we give this power to. It really is a variety of emotions. It's amazing how many of us, we live the movie Inside Out. Some of you are familiar with this movie. For those of you who aren't, it's a movie about this young girl, and she has this emotional center, and inside of this emotional center, there are these different emotions that at different times are being plugged into her emotional core, and then whatever emotion is being plugged in, well, that dictates the decisions that she's going to make, and all of the decisions in her life are made based on those emotions. And it really is amazing how many of us live our lives just like that. And the decisions that we make, they're made by, okay, whatever emotion I'm feeling at that moment, which is a terrible way to live. There's a point in the scriptures where God speaks to this, and he says something very interesting. He says this in Jeremiah 17:9. It says, "The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is?" He says, you need to understand something. You need to understand something about your emotions. You need to understand something about, and he's talking about our heart before God comes in. And God's, one of the things that God says to us as we step into relationship with him is he says, "I want to give you a new heart that longs for that which is good instead of longing for that which is destructive." And he says, no, you need to understand something. If you just live your life based on your emotions, based on what you feel, it's incredibly destructive. He says, I don't want that life for you. I want for you to know something else. I want for you to experience something else. And as we move to the next few weeks, I want to present you with a dream. This amazing dream that I believe that God has given to us, where he's stepped into our lives and said, no, I have something different for you. I have something new for you that I want for you to experience. I want for you to know life differently. Listen to how he phrases it in 1 John 4:18. He says this. He says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." 1 John 4, God steps into our lives and he presents us with this incredible dream. He says, no, this is how I want for you to experience life. This is the life that I want for you. And he says, I want for you to live a life where fear plays its proper role. Interesting, it doesn't say that you won't experience fear. It says, no, fear is driven out. In other words, that you're going to be experience it, but then it's driven out by love. And this is really important, because as we walk through this, I want you to understand, we're not saying that there should never be fear. There absolutely should be fear. We're going to talk about that a little bit more as we go on. And the reality is that fear plays a crucial role in our lives. It's an alarm system. It allows us to be able to know when something's wrong. And all of our emotions, they play a crucial role in our lives because they alert us to certain things. They're the alarm system in our life, and they allow us to direct our attention to where our attention needs to be directed, and they're crucial and they're important, but they should not be in the boardroom of our decision making. There's a healthy role for them to play. There's a healthy role for fear to play in our lives. But it's not in decision making. And God has stepped into our lives and said, No. I have something different for you. I have something that I want for you to know and to experience. A different way of engaging life. I want you to know fear for what I created it to be. But then I want for you to experience love driving that out. Rather than being in that decision-making process. And here's what happens. Oftentimes in that decision-making process, because fear is the loudest voice, we make truth a servant to fear. And he says, no, I want for you to live life in such a way that fear becomes a servant to truth. I want for truth and love and what I've done in your life, I want for that to shape the decisions that you make and the life that you live. I want for you to know freedom from the way that you've experienced and dealt with fear in the past. And so for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at, okay, how do you do that? How do you live that? And I know that as we walk into this, anytime you talk about fear, there are going to be those who step into this conversation and say, well, no, I'm not afraid of anything. And I'll be honest with you, I've actually lived a lot of my life that way, especially when I was younger. A lot of us, when we were teenagers, we lived our lives that way. But then, like you, I experienced life beating the crap out of me, and then I realized, wait, maybe there are some things that I need to be afraid of. And I realized that no, there is a role for fear to play. And the other thing that I realized is that the way that I dealt with fear was actually pretty ignorant, because there's typically two ways that as we engage fear, there's typically two things that we do, or two things that we say. The first thing that we say is, well, it's not that big a deal. There's really nothing to be afraid of. I'm not afraid of anything. Why? Because there's really nothing to be afraid of. And we downplay everything around us. And we just say, well, it's not that big a deal. It's not that significant, and so we don't have to be afraid, because we're just gonna decrease everything around us and downplay it so that we don't have to be afraid. But the reality is that there are things that we should be afraid of. The other thing that we do is that we say, well, no. I'm not downplaying that. I'm just stronger. And what we do is we tell ourselves that we're stronger than we actually are. We tell ourselves that nothing's stronger than me. I'll give you two examples. We one of the ways in which we downplay, this is an interesting one because a lot of us have experienced that, but we downplay the significance of what we're up against. And so you're having a conversation with your friend and saying, man, I don't know about this college debt. It seems to be getting bigger. And we say, no, don't worry about that. Everybody comes out of college with that amount of debt. You don't need to be afraid of debt. But we downplay it. Or the other one. And this was interesting to me as we walked through here in this area, Hurricane Sandy years ago. I remember coming out of Hurricane Sandy, and everybody had these shirts that said "Stronger than the storm, stronger than the storm. No, we don't have to be afraid. We're stronger than the storm. And I was here in this city when the storm hit. And let me tell you something. We weren't stronger than the storm. That storm was incredibly powerful. And I watched that thing wipe through our city. I always thought as I saw the t-shirts that it should have said more endurance than the storm. Like we can last, we outlasted the storm. I don't think, but we tell ourselves we do usually one of two things. We either say, well, it's not that big a deal. Everything's fine. Or we tell ourselves that we're stronger than we actually are, which is why I believe inside of our culture, why anxiety is skyrocketing. And for those of you who don't know, anxiety is now one of the number one things that we struggle with inside of our culture. Because here's the thing. I think for a lot of us, we're looking at our answers to fear, and we're looking at this answer that it's not that big a deal, or we're looking at the answer that no, we're stronger than, and we're looking at it and we're realizing now that those answers are insufficient. And we're realizing that if those are the answers to fear, then I have no real answer to fear. Because those answers don't actually hold up. And some of us are better at lying to ourselves than others. But I think for many of us, we've looked at those answers and we've said, no. And it's left us as slaves to fear, because we don't have a good answer. And we don't know what to do with that. But God has stepped into our lives, and He's given us this incredible dream that says, "No, you can leave fear behind. You can allow it to play the role that I created it to play, and nothing more." But how? How does that happen? Let me take you to this unique story that we find inside of Jesus' time with his disciples. It's really, really powerful. Let me take you to it. It's found in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, beginning of verse 22, it says this. It says, "One day Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let's go over to the other side of the lake.' So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger." And so you see this situation, and the disciples find themselves in the middle of this lake. And let me just point something out here. One of the things that I always call our attention back to as we're walking through this is that these disciples were fishermen. And so this storm must have been massive. And it says that the boat was being swamped. In other words, this storm is so big. And this isn't like a little rowboat that we're talking about. This boat is big enough, one, to be able to hold all the disciples. So there's at least 13 people inside of this boat. They're crossing this lake. And this is not like, oh, a nice little pond. No. This is a substantial size lake. And this storm hits. And this storm is big enough where now the boat is taking on water. And these guys are freaking out. Listen to how it continues. It says, "The disciples went down and went and woke him, saying, 'Master, Master, we're going to drown.'" So they're convinced. These professional fishermen are convinced. No, we're going down. We are going to drown. This was a massive, massive storm. And then it continues. Listen to what it says. It says, "He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. Where is your faith? He asked the disciples. I love this. I love this line. Jesus, they wake him up. He wakes up, stands up, says, stop. The storm stops. And then Jesus turns to his disciples and he says, where's your faith? Come on, guys. Where's your faith? Really? Really, Jesus? You just expect, this is what we were supposed to expect to happen? This is what we were supposed to expect to happen? But he stands up and he says, where's your faith? And then listen to this next line. This is so important. Listen. It says, in fear and amazement, they ask one another, who is this? Now, this isn't the beginning of their journey with Jesus. But now they've experienced something in him that they've never experienced before. They say, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. That day, the disciples' experience of fear changed. Their entire experience of fear changed. That day, the disciples began to fear a little less. Why? Why? Was it because they realized the storm wasn't so big? Was it because they looked at the situation and said, oh, we just overestimated the storm. It wasn't as big as we thought. No. The storm was just as real. The storm was just as big. The storm was just as dangerous. What was it because they realized that they were stronger than they thought? Was it because they realized, no, we can overcome that storm. No, we can push through that storm. Is it because they realized they were bigger than they thought? No. It wasn't because they underestimated the storm. It wasn't because they overestimated themselves. It was because they realized they were with someone stronger than anything they could come up against. Listen, they realized in that moment, not that they were stronger, not that the storm was smaller. They realized they were with someone who was stronger than anything they could come up against. And it changed. It changed the way that they experienced fear. It changed. There's something that happens. There's something that happens when you realize that you're with the strongest one. There's something that happens. You actually see the same thing play out in the book of Acts. When you begin the book of Acts and you look at how the story begins, you see at the beginning of the book of Acts a group of people who are terrified. They are terrified and they're huddled together and they're praying and they're coming together, but they're coming together in hiding and they are afraid. They don't know what's going to happen. Jesus has gone back to be with the Father, but they also just watched Jesus be put to death. They don't know if that's going to be their reality. And so they're afraid and they don't really know, okay, what is it that we're supposed to do? And then just a short time later, after the Holy Spirit comes, listen to what it says in Acts chapter 4. It says, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. It says, as it talks about them, just a couple chapters later, all of a sudden they've moved from individuals who are afraid and terrified and shaking to now individuals who are bold. What changed? Well, the Holy Spirit had come. And they realized. Was the council any less dangerous? No. Was the threat of death any less than it was before? No. Were they any stronger than they were before? Had they come into a realization of their strength more over that course of time? No. What had changed? All of a sudden, they realized. No. The one who's with me is stronger than anything I can come up against. There's something that happens when you realize you're with the strongest person. There's something that happens. And all of a sudden, fear, it moves out of the decision-making process, and it returns to the role it was intended to play. It can alert me to danger. It can direct me to where I need to pay attention. But it is not the dictator of my decisions. It does not control me. It does not rule over me. No. I understand who is with me. It's interesting. For me, I experienced this probably in a negative way growing up because I had two cousins who were massive. I mean, they were incredibly large human beings, and they were really, really strong. And I remember my younger cousin and I, we would walk around with my two older cousins, and we felt like we could do anything. We could literally do anything, and we could talk trash to anyone. I told you this was a negative. This was not exactly a positive thing. But we literally lived like we were the biggest people on the block. Why? Because we were the biggest? No, because we were with the biggest. And it didn't matter. See, there's something that happens when you realize that you're with the strongest person. And when you look at the disciples, in that boat, and when you look at the change between the beginning of Acts and Acts 4, it's not because the storm decreased or the council was less dangerous. No. They just realized who was with them. They just realized who was with them. And listen to me. The same thing is true for you. The same thing is true for you. You see, Jesus Christ gave his life. And he's invited you into this relationship because he wants you to know that he is always with you. And he wants for you to experience his spirit being with you no matter where you go, no matter what your experience is. And he doesn't step into our lives and say, don't worry, it's no big deal. He doesn't step into our lives and say, no, you're strong enough. He steps into our lives and he says, no, you need to understand something. There is nothing you will come up against that I am not stronger than. And when we step into this relationship with him, he promises that he will never leave us. And we can engage fear in a way that we've never engaged it before when we realize that we are with the strongest one. And I know that for some of you, as you walk through this, you say, well, Chris, I don't know if I believe all the miracles things, and I don't know if if I believe that story, and make no mistake about it. Listen to me. Make no mistake about it. The reality is that even for those who experienced the miracles, they struggled to believe it. They struggled to be able to comprehend what just happened and what God had done. But let me tell you something. And whenever someone tells me that, they say, man, Chris, I don't know if I buy into that. I don't know if I believe in the miracles thing. The thing I always tell them is, listen, just come and visit Hoboken Grace. I just want to introduce you to our family because our family is full of miracles. And the reality of it is this, that God is constantly working around us to be able to show us exactly who he is and what he's able to do. As a matter of fact, we talked about this last week, where we talked about how we step out in faith, it provides evidence for those around us. And the reality is that we live in a family where we have seen people over and over again step out in faith. We have seen people over and over again trust God, and we've seen God be faithful in those situations. We've seen God work and move in those situations. And one of the things that's important, if you're going to understand this with fear, and if you're going to understand that you're with the most powerful one, is that you have to live a life of faith, because as you step out in faith, God is able to demonstrate to you just how big he is. God is able to demonstrate to you just how powerful he is. Let me take you to this interesting passage where Jesus is interacting with these two blind individuals. It's found in Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. It says this, it says, as Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and asked him, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, it will be done to you." And in this moment, Jesus says something that for many of us, we struggle with, because at the end of it, he says, according to your faith, it will be done to you. And sometimes people look at this passage and they say, okay, if you want to experience God working in your life, if you want to experience God's power in your life, then you just have to believe harder. And we think about faith as just believing something. We think about it as, I intellectually believe something. And so when we read this passage, we think, well, you just have to believe harder. And if you're not experiencing, it's just because you're not believing hard enough. And so believe harder. That's not what he's talking about. Faith is not when you believe that something's true. Faith is when you act like something's true, even when you're struggling to believe it. And so in this moment, what he's talking about is not, you just need to believe harder. He's saying, no. When you take a step of faith, when you act like what God has said is true, even when you have doubts, when you act like God has what God says about himself is true, even when you're struggling with it, he says, no, that faith, well, what does it do? It allows God to work in your life through that faith and provide evidence that he is exactly who he says that he is. And what he's saying to them is, he's saying, no, according to your faith, he says, as you step out in faith, you're going to experience that. And this is crucial when it comes to our fear, because as we're looking at this, for some of you, you're saying, man, I don't know if I believe that about God. And for many of us, we're not experiencing that about God because we're not actually stepping out in faith. As you step out in faith, you're going to experience that, and it changes the way you think about God. And all of a sudden, you don't get bigger. The storm doesn't get smaller. He gets bigger. And when he gets bigger, when your understanding of just how big he is increases, well, it changes the way you experience fear. It changes the way you experience fear. And when we live our lives in faith, and we live our lives like what God has said is true, even when we struggle, even when we doubt, even when we have questions, when we live our lives in faith, it allows us to see the evidence of just how big he is. And when we realize how big he is, when we realize that we're with the biggest one, well then, our experience of fear it changes. And we begin to experience that dream. That dream that we can live our lives where fear plays the role that it was created to play. And we live life following God, not following fear. I want to share with you one final passage. It's found in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. It says this. It says, "What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us?" What is he saying? He's saying, listen. Come here. You're with the biggest one, the strongest one. I want you, as we walk through this series, I want you to write something somewhere that you can see it every day. Whether it's a post-it that you put on your laptop, maybe it's something that you put on your screensaver, whatever it is, I want you to write it somewhere that you know that you'll see it every single day. And I want you to write this. The most powerful being in existence is for me. I want you to write it where you're going to see it every day. The most powerful being in existence is for me. As we move through these unprecedented circumstances, our relationship with fear is different. Why? Because the most powerful being in existence is for us. There's something that changes when you realize that. There's something that changes when you realize that you're with him. And my prayer is that over the next few weeks, we'll realize the fullness of that dream. That fear will play the role that it was created to play. But that our lives will be dictated by the one who is with us, the one who has been with us, and the one who always will be with us. Will you pray with me? Father, as we walk through this and as we look at how you are moving into our lives to change the way in which we engage fear, moving into our lives to give us a true answer to the fear that can so dominate us, to drive out those answers that are insufficient, to drive out those answers that require us to lie to ourselves and to replace them with one that we know we can hold tight to, one that we know we can wrap our arms around, one that we know we can have confidence in, because we know that you have been with us. We know that you are with us. We know that you will be with us. And as we move through this, we want to live our lives in faith so that once again, we can see just how big you are. We want to move in every step in faith so that we can recognize again just how big you are. Because when we recognize that, and we recognize your love for us, it's amazing how it drives out fear. In Jesus' name, amen.